2002, this is an interview with Michelle McCrary, M-C-C-R-A-R-Y. The interview takes place in Lexington, Kentucky, and the interviewer is Betsy Brinson. Michelle, give me your full name, if you would, so I can get a voice level.
Okay, Michelle McCrary.
Okay, you have a middle name?
Olivia.
Olivia, uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you for agreeing to talk with me today. Why don't we start? Tell me where and when you were born.
I was born November 5th, 1950 in Louisville, Kentucky at the old Red Cross Hospital.
Okay. And so you've lived in Kentucky all your life?
All of my life.
Okay. Uh-huh. Tell me a little bit about your, what you know about your ancestors.
I should have brought a picture to show you. I'll have to show you later. On my mother's side, she was a Shively, and she's from a family of the Rowans of Western Kentucky, that we have a history where they were brought as slaves from Virginia and eventually settled in Owensboro, Kentucky, that was called Yellow Banks at the time. So on her side, even though my mother was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, her mother was a teacher until she got married, because she had to stop teaching once she got married. Her father was from the area around Owensboro, and they married, and they lived in Pittsburgh for a while and then settled in Louisville, Kentucky. But her side of the family has had a reunion. For this year will be the 107th year, straight year of the reunion of the Rowan family. My father's family is from Centerville, Mississippi, which is near the Louisiana border, just up from Baton Rouge. And in fact, we were down that way last Thanksgiving. I knew my great-grandparents from his mother's side. And so I know a little bit about them, not a lot. I know my grandmother and my grandfather, his parents, went to Alcorn College in Mississippi.
How do you spell Alcorn?
A-L-C-O-R-N.
Okay, thank you.
My grandmother's uncles were fairly prominent. One taught school at Jackson State University in Jackson, Mississippi. I know one was a doctor in Memphis, and one was a pharmacist. Ross was her maiden name, and Hawkins was her father's name, her name. And so I do know a little bit about that side of the family. I'd like to try to find out more, but
I wondered when you mentioned the name Shively,
mm-hmm.
which in Louisville is
yeah.
a big name,
right?
And a big area of town and whatnot. Do you know anything about the history there?
I really don't know. My grandfather, Shively, they were raised near Owensboro, so I don't know if there's what the relation is of that Shively. He obviously came from mixed parentage. I believe his mother was full-blooded Native American. And a lot of people, in fact, when my mother was growing up, said a lot of people thought he was white and thought he was married to a black woman. So it could be something there, but I don't know of it.
You grew up in Louisville?
Yes, uh-huh.
And tell me a little bit about your education there.
I attended school. I started out at Stephen Foster Elementary. I always went to integrated schools that had just started at the time I was entering elementary school. And so I was technically in the district for Duval, but which was an all-black, we still had a lot of all-black schools in the area at that time, but I went to Stephen Foster Elementary, Shawnee Junior High, and Mayall High School in Louisville.
Graduated?
I graduated from Mayall in 1968, and I went to Eastern Kentucky University. I went there for a while and dropped out of school, had a son, and eventually went back after 10 years to graduate.
Okay. Tell me, you say that Stephen Foster was integrated.
Yes.
How integrated was it in terms of students, in terms of teachers?
I had black and white teachers, but the school was fairly integrated. From what I remember, it was probably at least 50-50. It might even been predominantly white, but it was at least close to that. I had white friends whose houses I visited in elementary school and junior high. So it was fairly well integrated, although pretty much the neighborhood was beginning to change. I would say the neighborhood the school was in itself was probably predominantly black.
Had it been an all-white school before integration?
It might have been, because that started, I guess, in 1955, I would assume, I'm pretty sure. And that was the year that the schools...
What part of town is...
In the West End, right... our house was right by Chickasaw Park and Southwestern Parkway. You can't get any further west without going in the river. So the school was right down there.
Okay.
It's called Stephen Foster Academy now. It's in a new school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You probably graduated before there was any of the busing in Louisville?
Yes.
Okay.
At the time I was in high school, you could, if you lived in the city, you could go to any city high school you chose to.
Mm-hmm.
County still had to go by district, and up through junior high and elementary and junior, you still were restricted by district. But high school, you could have your choice within the city limits.
Okay. What do you recall about those early years in terms of race relations in Louisville?
Well, I don't recall personally a lot of problems until probably, I guess, when everything happened across United States in the 60s, in Louisville. When we would go downtown, we could always shop and try on things at Bick's and Selman's, the two big department stores. Some stores I think we may not have been able to get in, but I remember those two were the larger ones, the nice stores you could go to. I'm pretty sure we could at Bick's. I'm almost sure at Bick's.
Bick's is spelled
B-Y-C-K-S.
Okay.
And Selman's, I think so, because it seems like I remember them making up makeup, you know, their own makeup, where they made up shades for different people. So I'm thinking they did too. But of course, I would go to Mississippi to visit family up through, I think I was 12 years old the last time I went, where it was beginning to get more dangerous. But that's probably where I saw a lot of problems, where on the way down, you had to be there by dark, or we stayed at family in Memphis halfway there. Where you couldn't use the restrooms and things like that. That's where I had more exposure to that than in Louisville, because I guess when I was younger, I really wasn't going out anywhere on my own. Now, of course, by the time I got to high school, the open housing marches and other things, then you could then, you know, when I was old enough to maybe go to some places, I realized there were still places in Louisville that maybe I couldn't go to, right, certain restaurants or something.
Am I correct that you attended the statewide rally in Frankfurt?
Yes. I was in a junior high at the time, and our parents took us out of school to attend the March on Frankfurt.
Were your parents active in Louisville?
Yeah, they were fairly active. I remember, I guess I might have been in high school by that time, where they would using people to go to different establishments to see if they could eat. And I know my parents, for at least one or two times, was a test couple where they would go to see if they could get service and were refused.
Tell me your parents' full names, if you would.
My father might hate that, but it's, P.M. McCrary Jr., but it's Pompey Montez. And my mother is Julia Shively McCrary.
And what, were they active in an organization that worked for civil rights?
Or? I don't know if they might have been members of the NAACP. I believe they were, because at the time, I know there was a neighborhood association, and they had membership in the NAACP. Mm-hmm. So probably through part of that. But I do remember that they were a test couple.
What do you remember about the Frankfurt rally? How you would have been?
Probably about 13 at the time, something like that. Just not a lot, just bits and pieces, you know, where it was lots of people, you know, mostly with family or friends. Remember Dr. King. You know, couldn't see much, you know, but just seeing all the people and the signs and thinking that it looked like some of the things we sent out on TV and other places.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, younger brothers. They were like, my sister's 5 years younger than me, and my brother's 6 years, so
they weren't. Did they go with you to the rally?
I'm almost sure that they didn't. I don't remember them being there.
Okay. Do you remember any of the music?
Well, you know, of course, We Shall Overcome, We Shall Not Be Moved, Before I'll Be a Slave, I'll Be Buried in My Grave, mm-hmm. and Go Home to My Lord and Be Free, you know. So those were some of the songs that I remember.
How did you travel to Frankfurt?
I believe my parents and my grandparents took us.
In a car?
In a car, yeah, I'm sure. I don't think we went in a bus. I don't remember being in a bus. I'm really not sure about that, but they had cars, so I'm thinking we went in a car.
Your grandparents went too?
Yeah.
And these were your mother's?
My father's parents. They lived like three doors from us, and so we were all very close, and yeah.
Okay. Were they active in any other way that you
No, I don't remember. You know, I know they were members of the NAACP, and but I don't remember them. I know they weren't a test couple or anything. But I think just active in the community as a whole, and, you know, supporting if it was money or whatever they needed to do. But.
Okay. So, attending that rally, do you remember that it left you with any particular feelings?
Well, I think feelings of being proud to see, you know, how many people came out to support it, and just being a part of something that was happening all over the country, you know that what you saw on TV, you know, you were now a part of the movement,
right,
too,
right,
so to speak. So
I wonder if you remember a campaign in Louisville called the Nothing New for Easter campaign.
Sort of, but not, I don't know that I remember it specific enough to.
You don't remember that?
I remember it was like downtown, there were different marches, and but I don't remember personally if I was there.
Would your parents have said to you, we're not going to buy any new Easter clothes this year?
Probably. Yeah, I would say that they would have boycotted if it was going on. I know they wouldn't have gone up there to buy anything at Easter. I think maybe the only stores that anybody would support would be like Bick's had always been very involved in the civil rights movement and been very open. And I remember them clearly.
So tell me what you remember about the open housing effort.
Now the open housing, when that started, I was probably, I guess, just entering high school. Sometimes there was a couple of churches. I remember, I think Quinn Chapel was one, and I think it was one on Jefferson Street that I think it was Reverend Hodges Church, is all I can think of at the time. We would go, mostly it was a lot of meetings. For the most part, they use either some of the college students or the ones in the higher grades, like the seniors and juniors. I think they had been through different trainings. I remember attending maybe two actual marches, but for the most part, it was mostly the older, they were a little bit older than us, that went. I think they felt it was maybe too dangerous at some point.
At the marches, do you remember, were there hecklers?
Oh, definitely, there were hecklers, and, you know, it was very frightening because you saw it in, I guess, still being in Kentucky and basically growing up in an integrated system for the most part. It was still surprising to see the venom from some people, you know. And so I know sometimes one time, a friend of ours, we were looking, we thought we saw some people that went to our high school, you know, out there kind of shouting at us. And, you know, so that was a little surprising. I think that some of us really weren't braced for it, especially those of us that probably went through an integrated system where we didn't have a lot of trouble, you know, and so I think that was the most surprising for me, that it would be like I was in Mississippi. You know, I would expect that maybe in Mississippi, but I wasn't so prepared for it then.
Did any of your teachers or principal in high school ever suggest that this was either good or not so good for you to be doing?
No, I don't remember any of that. In fact, in high school, by the time I was, I think, a junior and senior, Dr. King's brother, Reverend A.D. King's daughter, attended high school with me, Alveda. Actually, she was, you know, the year he was murdered, she was at Mayo High School at the time. So, but I don't remember anything from the teachers or anything. At Mayo, we had actually some quite liberal teachers that probably took part in the marches themselves. But
tell me about Alveda. First off, how do you spell her name?
I believe it's Alveda.
I'm asking you for spellings because when the transcriber types this up.
I'm pretty sure that's the way she spelled it. I don't know if she was any different from the rest of, you know, she was just a typical friendly person. We didn't we weren't best friends or anything, but we were always friendly and cordial, and she was always nice. And I've maybe seen her once since we left high school, because they moved eventually back to Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I think she became, for a while, maybe part of the state legislature. I think her married name was Beal. I think it was Alveda King Beal. I believe she married somebody that was from Louisville.
And she wasn't in the legislature.
I was thinking that she had something to do, or she was at the time running for a council, or that I remember hearing something about that. And then, but basically, I haven't talked to her or seen her since then.
Do you remember the riot?
Oh, definitely. And in fact, you know, I was trying to think. I said, I'm going here to talk. I said, you know, how clear is my head? But I remember that because we were planning. We were getting ready to graduate and everything, and ready for the prom and all that type of stuff.
And that would have been?
And probably, I guess it started in May of 68. Because I remember just before graduating, almost, I had the measles. Yeah. And we were planning for a party after the prom, and it was a group of senior girls, and we were meeting, I believe it was at Sherry Creech's house, who's now a dentist in Louisville. And so we had heard that the rumor, you know, that there was going to be Stokely Carmichael, and was going to be other big speakers, and she lived maybe a block or so away from 28th and Greenwood. So several of us walked over there, and we were there listening to the speakers, and, you know, and Act Power, and, you know, just all the stuff, but it was still peaceful. And then we heard a rumor that they wouldn't let his plane, Stokely Carmichael's plane, land, and but it was still just rhetoric, you know. You hear people talking, and it was a corner building, and it was a couple of guys that were standing on top of the building, I remember, and they had the megaphones, and it was, by then, it was people in the streets, and it was pretty much of a crowd. Then we heard that, so, you know, the police are down on the next block, you know, in riot gear or something. Everybody was like, you know, for what? Because I felt that probably if you gave it another 45 minutes or so, most people probably would have gotten tired of standing there and would have gone. I certainly probably would have not been there very long anyway. But anyway, we're still listening. Then all of a sudden, the police come in, and it was on. I remember maybe somebody threw a bottle, and people just start taking out everywhere, and we were like, I think it's time to go. And
that was,
yeah, because it was definitely out of control then. And mostly it was people didn't know which way to run and what was going to happen, because we didn't see anything that would have precipitated that, you know, mm-hmm. that type of entry in. And so we were pretty fearful, and we just got out of there. And of course, we had to get back over to Sherry's house, because that's where the car was parked.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember talking to your family about that experience at all?
I don't know if I told them much, because probably I wasn't supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure I told them, you know, that we would listen to the speakers, and then all of a sudden the police come in, and pretty much the same thing, because nobody was really doing anything other than listening to the speakers.
Okay. Were there a lot of your classmates there that you recall?
There may have been, but probably, I guess because part of it's hard to determine because we went to schools all over Louisville, that just because if you lived in that area, it doesn't mean everybody went to the school, same school. So a lot of people, you went to schools all over. We were with a group that just happened because we were planning a party that some of us from our high school, so I may not even know a lot of kids at other high schools unless maybe I went to Shawnee Junior with them. Then I might know some at Shawnee High School if they continued there, a few at Central, but it was probably no more than maybe four or five of us that actually went from there that I can remember.
Did the riot have any effect on your high school graduation activities? Or?
Well, I don't think it was changed. I think it might have been cleared enough by the time, because that I don't remember the actual day it happened. But I know it was a weekday, because I'm pretty sure we met right after school. And I don't remember any delay, because our prom was downtown at the Sheraton at the time, and we had some on the Belle of Louisville, so, and then graduation, so I don't remember any delay.
I know you've seen the video Living the Story.
Actually, I didn't see it at the time that I talked to Joan.
Okay. Well, tell me when, but you have now
seen it. Yeah, I've seen it now. I said,
and
well.
I wonder the segment about the takeover at the University of Louisville.
Yeah, I know Blaine Hudson.
Okay. Yeah. Were you aware at the time that any of that was happening?
I think at that time when Blaine was, he was probably maybe a junior, so I might have been at Eastern by then. I don't know if I was still, because he's only maybe a couple years older than me. And so I'm thinking maybe, you know, we heard about the takeovers and stuff, and that everything was happening, little things were happening at all the college campuses, including Eastern. We didn't have a takeover, but we had our own things going at the time.
Tell me how you know Blaine.
I guess, friends growing up, and he was older, but sometimes we attended some of the same parties and different outings and stuff, and also through the open housing marches, he was pretty much active in everything. The Braden son went to high school with me too. He was always pretty quiet though. But
I don't know anything about him. What can you tell me, other than I know there was a son?
After he left, I think he left Louisville for college. I want to say he went to maybe, he didn't go to Brandeis, somewhere north, I'm thinking. And I don't know if he's come back. Other than him being quiet and studious, that's about all I could tell you about him.
You don't remember if he was...
I don't remember.
Any of the open housing demonstrations? Or
he might have been, but I don't remember him much outside of school, outside of the classroom.
So you graduated from high school and went to Eastern.
Eastern,
And tell me about some of the activity there that you just
Our class, 68, the year we started the Black Student Union, I was a secretary. Part of it was because of all this kind of newfound activism that everybody came up. A lot of us decided that, well, we couldn't complain about not being able to participate in things if we didn't try out for it. So some people tried out for cheerleading. I tried out for the drill team and actually was the first African-American drill team member. I was selected as an alternate at first. So I didn't actually get into uniform till the second semester, which was actually okay with me because it was basketball season then and indoors.
Had you ever done anything like that
No,
before?
No, never. And so just whatever activities were around campus, a lot of us decided to make a go of it. I certainly didn't think about being picked. It was just part of a thing to do.
Right.
So I was as shocked as anybody. And I remember the Kappa Alpha Men's Fraternity had this annual Old South Week where they would, you know, basically be like the Old South antebellum stuff. And they would parade through campus on the horseback and with the flag, you know, the whole deal.
Confederate flag.
Yeah. And we decided to stop that. So we like linked arms and blocked the passage. And so that was kind of a brouhaha then.
Well, that's what happened.
Well, they couldn't pass. So they had to turn around and cut their parade short. There was, they were saying that, well, we could be a part of that if we wanted to. And we were like, well, what roles exactly would we play?
Stop.
Okay.
Let me turn the tape. Okay, go ahead.
So, you know, from then, the Black Student Union was pretty active during that time. We also had a Miss Black Eastern pageants and things like that went on for several years. And
how many students were involved in the Black Student Union there? Just approximately.
Wow.
So, is it 10 or 50?
Oh, no.
Or?
I think it was at least 50. We were a pretty solid group the first. I think the 68 class was the largest group of blacks at one time that came to Eastern. It had steadily been increasing. I think the year before, in fact, there were a lot of people that went to Male High School with me that were graduating in 67 that were there. But I think collectively from all over, 68 brought in a big group. And so we were all pretty cohesive for the most part. So everybody was pretty active at some point in the BSU. The meetings were pretty well attended, and any function that we had was always well attended.
I wonder if if the Eastern chapter had any interactions or communication with the other Black student unions on Kentucky campuses.
I don't really think that we did. Number one, nobody had really cars back then. I think there were two cars on campus. So, you know, it wasn't like you could, like the kids now can just jump to one place to another. So I think that was one of the main reasons. I mean, we knew other people and maybe a few people would come down to party and stuff, but not, I don't think the BSUs, I don't remember a secretary meeting with other BSU groups. But
did you as a student at that point in time go home most weekends, or did you stay?
You couldn't get us home.
You couldn't?
It's a whole, everything has changed now. Most students leave at Thursday. You know, campuses are dead. You couldn't get us home because we enjoyed it. We had a great time. We would go down on the hill to the Black section of town, although there were other clubs you could go to, but we went on the hill in Richmond. And so most people treat us like family. About once a year there was a town versus campus thing, usually involving like the athletes on campus and the guys in town, and then that would blow over. But we would just walk down the hill, up the hill. So we didn't go home that much.
At the point that you were there, were most of the Black students placed in a dormitory together? Or
no, we were spread out. We were in different dorms. My best friends, they were in the dorm next to me. I was in, what is that, Taylor? Oh, well, the oldest one on campus, I know that. And they went Burnham, and So everybody was pretty spread out, and the second semester is when Telford, the newer dorm, opened, which I moved to the second semester, so.
Were black students given black roommates? Was it paired that way, or how did that work?
I did, and a lot of us, though, went, now a lot went with their friends, so they had their choice of roommates. They chose roommates. But I believe on some occasions it was integrated.
How did you find the Eastern campus at that point in time in terms of?
Mostly it was word of mouth, because I originally wanted to go to Hampton University in Virginia. And then for some reason, I don't know, maybe friends came back and they told us how they liked Eastern. I remember my parents taking me down to look over the campus, and I was really not sure if I wanted to go when I read the rules, at least in 1968, you know, about the curfew, and you couldn't go downtown, not that I would, but downtown and hair curlers, house shoes, you know, there were a lot of different things, and I thought it was kind of restrictive with the early curfews and stuff, which that ended probably my second semester, sophomore year. There were no more curfews and stuff, so.
How did you find faculty and, well, first off, were there any black faculty?
I believe there was maybe one. Was Dr. Way down there then?
Dr.
Way. I'm trying to think. I think he was in industrial arts or something. I didn't have any when I was there. But a lot of the classes were so big that I didn't feel necessarily that I had a problem, because most of the classes were so big that I don't see where there could be a lot of close interaction. Although I did notice maybe in a couple classes where I might have been the only black, or it's only two of us, that I do remember one professor would call the roll, but he hardly ever called my name, because I guess he just looked up. I'm either there or I'm not, you know, so.
But he gave you credit for being there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but, you know, he could just get up, she's here.
Right.
You know, but there were some professors that were really, to me, maybe went out of their way to be very nice. I can't think of his name, but he was an anthropology professor that was very liberal and outgoing. And actually, my English professor that tried to get me to switch to English major, he taught at Mayo, not when I was there, but he found out I went to Mayo. He knew why I was doing so well in English, you know. So.
Is that what your major was?
No. Actually, I don't even think I had a major at that point. That was probably my freshman and sophomore year. And then I thought maybe social work. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And then the law enforcement program started, and I thought about law enforcement, but as maybe being working with juvenile probation, and now they have the where you can major in that, but at the time you could maybe mix law enforcement with social work, and so that was probably what I was thinking then. But Mr. Latta, he tried his best to get me to switch to English major, and the classes, I remember in biology, my partner, he was a young white guy from a rural area. And I did the writing because he liked to do the cutting on the pigs and stuff. So we worked it out pretty well. And I helped him in English. Mm-hmm. Because I did have good training in high school with English. Every day we had to write a thing for our English class or humanity. Every day you walked in the room, you wrote. So even if I forgot one, I could be in the grill and write something. And So.
You said that you left and took a break there and went back. Did you go back to Eastern?
Yes, I went back to Eastern. After I found out I was only needed 18 hours or something, and that was in 89-90, which I actually graduated in 90.
And what was your major?
Well, I didn't switch because, so it, law enforcement though changed to police administration, and so actually my degree's in police administration, and I still had my social work minor. And I didn't work in any of that, but.
And you worked in the Fayette County
Health Department now, so. But actually what precipitated me going back to school was that I worked for about 9 years at the Food Stamp Center, where we issued out food stamps here. It was a privately owned company that had a state contract. And like then that was over, and I was drawing unemployment and went back to found out that they said, you only got 18 more hours you need. So I went and finished that.
Did you ever think about moving back to Louisville?
Yes, but I guess just the way either the jobs worked out or something, I ended up here. But when people ask me where I'm from, even though I've been here about 20 years, I say Louisville. And I still go to Louisville often because my parents are still there.
How would you compare race relations in Lexington with relations in Louisville?
Lexington's sort of funny, and I don't know if it's necessarily all down race lines as it is, even with, I'll just say that most of my friends from Lexington, especially my black friends, but any of my friends, my closest friends, aren't originally from Lexington. Now, they might be from small towns like Lynch, Harlan, Fleming, you know, a lot of places, but I can't think of over two that what I could say that I'm close to that was born and raised in Lexington. And I used to think it was like maybe a Lexington-Louisville type thing, but I know it's deeper than that. It's a different mentality I find here than I do in Louisville.
In Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Can you?
I don't know.
How is it different?
It seems like a lot of people here aren't happy to see maybe other people succeed. It's more of a cliquishness. It's very different, actually, and I don't know if I should say this on the record, because it's somebody else that said it to my mother, but a woman that lived here and was married to somebody very prominent here. Actually, the man, what is his name, used to sing My Old Kentucky Home for the UK games. She never felt close to, especially a lot of the other African American women here, and they've been here for a long time. And so, and when I talk to a lot of my friends that aren't from here too, that it's, they have the same thing. So I know it wasn't just me.
Okay. I wonder if there's anything else. Well, in particular, let me ask you, overall, how do you think that your involvement in some of those early experiences in high school shaped who you are today?
Oh, I think not just those things, but even from going through Mississippi when I was younger, my parents and my grandparents, we always traveled somewhere in the summer, whether it was Mississippi or Detroit or Niagara Falls. They took us out a lot, so we had a lot of exposure to a lot of different people and a lot of situations. So, I mean, all of that has made me, more, I think, open to people. And definitely not very closed-minded about anything, but it's let me try to hear other people's views, but also the ability to say what I need to say too. Do you know Ann Butler?
I do.
Well, she went to she was at Eastern at the time, and so.
I wondered, and I almost asked you that if you knew her.
Yeah,
stay in touch with her today?
I see her from time to time, because since she's over at Kentucky State now, but she was part of that close-knit group with the Black Student Union, everything at Eastern.
She and I are good friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We worked closely on this project and mm-hmm. some other things and whatnot.
Yeah. I remember I hadn't seen her for years, and she was in town. At the time, she was still out at Kansas. And then she was back here, and I've seen her at a few things. So.
She recalls her years at Eastern, though, and she was a little more reluctant, as I recall, to jump in and do things with the Black Student Union.
Well, it might have been, and you know, I don't know why, I can't speak for her. It seemed like she was always with us. But she was probably a couple years before, at least a couple years before me. And so, you know, it wasn't as many students when she started, so I'm sure she already had kind of her niche. But also a lot of us, and since not all, but a lot of us came from Louisville, we were seeing some of our classmates. I remember some guys on the track team who we took them home like Thanksgiving, because they couldn't go all the way home, and we'd take them home with us. So, but there were a lot of people that had been either active or just, and from especially larger cities instead of smaller ones, where we were used to being out in the movement, so to speak. So Ann came from a smaller community,
and
so.
She would agree with you.
Yeah,
there,
yeah.
So. Okay, well thank you very much.
Don't think she's that way now.